Hello and welcome. It's hour number three of our radio program as we bloviate all day long here. Whenever you download the podcast, that's when we start yapping away here. Just a voice in your head. So the rare and appropriate horse racing monologue, do you have empathy for legendary horse trainer Bob Baffert, a doping scandal rocking the Kentucky Derby? We break it down for you right now in hour number three. It's a horse, of course. What's the big deal? Welcome in the beginning of another hour, the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we wax loquacious coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from inside your eardrums, providing very marginal overnight sports talk radio all night long into the wee hours of the morning here from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And here we are back at it again, together again this hour. And our lead coming from the stables, the smell of horse crap in the air everywhere. We have a piping hot sports scandal fresh out of the oven. And you know, I am a sucker for scandal. I love doing sports radio during a scandal. It's what I live for. Now, this one, it's not as sexy as your normal scandals because it involves the equine world, and it also involves legendary trainer Bob Baffert. Now, I'm not sure how much you know about this story, how much you were paying attention to it over the weekend. Maybe not, but it has come to our attention. We have learned now that Bob Baffert and his horse, the Kentucky Derby winner, the 2021 Derby winner Medina Spirit, have a lot of explaining to do. Baffert announcing that Medina Spirit tested positive for having over double the legal limit of an anti-inflammatory drug in the system. Now, Baffert gave a rambling statement to reporters on Sunday right there at the track, and we actually have some of the audio from Bob Baffert. Now, he began his rant. There's a couple of sound bites that stand out here, so we'll just give you those. We'll cut out the bull crap, or in this case, the horse crap. So here's Bob Baffert explaining that he was wrong. He feels like he was wronged in all this. Here's Baffert, as Warren Wolf would say. Let's go to the audio tape.
Yesterday, I got the biggest gut punch in racing for something that I didn't do. And this is really, it's disturbing. It's an injustice to the horse. I feel like, you know, here you win a race, and you're still not, to me, the I don't know what's going on in racing right now, but there's something not right. And I don't feel embarrassed. I feel like I was wronged.
All right, so he feels like he was wrong. He's the victim in all this. But wait, there's more. All right, wait, there's more. And yet again, Bob Baffert, the face of horse racing as far as the trainer part of it in that business, the horses don't talk. But here's Baffert, and he intimates a cabal, a conspiracy, as Warner Wolf would say. Again, let's go to the audio tape.
I'm not a conspiracy therapist. I know no, everybody's not out to get me, but there is definitely something wrong. Why is it happening, you know, to me? You know, there's problems in racing, but it's not Bob Baffert.
All right, Bob. Not Bob. Now, did you notice at the beginning there, he didn't say theorist. I think he said, can we play that again, Roberto? I think he said conspiracy therapist. I think
I'm not a conspiracy therapist. I know. No, I'm not a conspiracy therapist.
All right, that's a drop. That'll be saved for posterity's sake.
I'm not a conspiracy therapist.
That is outstanding. That reminds me of a drop. My favorite radio show when I was a kid, the Jim Healy Show. That's the kind of drop that they would have played into the ground on that show. Anyway, let us discuss. All right, the question. You heard what Bob Baffert had to say. That was the money quote. Those two quotes were the money quotes. Do you have empathy for Bob Baffert? Right? Do you have empathy? Bob Baffert is positioning himself as the victim here, and he doesn't know what's going on in horse racing, but it's not Bob Baffert. He's not the problem. So I'm shaking my head. No, is what I am doing. We've got open secret breadcrumbs and status quo. And we will combine all of these things together and make a banana cream pie, the greatest pie of them all, better than apple pie, better than cherry pie, better than rhubarb pie, the banana cream pie. Now, to lead off with, Bob Baffert has been the guy. I mean, the idea that Baffert's like, I don't know what's going on with horse racing, but we got a problem. He's the guy. I mean, he's the face of the industry. And he's been that way for decades, pretty much my entire adult life. It is a crooked business. It's always been a crooked business. It's one of the reasons I love horse racing. I've said many times, I like to go out to the track. You know, I live in L.A., Santa Anita, not that far away from where I reside. I love going out to Santa Anita because you have a little bit of everything. On one side of the track, you got a bunch of degenerates that have no money, that are betting their last few dollars, drinking beer, and hoping to hit the Quintella and cash in, right? And then on the other side, you've got the richest of the rich, Scrooge McDuck, the people that own the horses and the people that pay for the horses on the other side. And they're all separated by a fence, that's it, and some luxury boxes. The racing industry is horribly corrupt. It's been that way forever. It's been plagued by constant doping with charges of misconduct and finger-pointing there, and everywhere. It just goes on and on. And each year, you have tens of thousands of horses globally that are born into the industry. And you know, let's be honest here, they are chewed up, spit out, and end up in the glue factory. If they're lucky and they win some races, they'll go to stud, and then they will be baby-making. Year after year after year. But it's an open secret. It's an open secret in the racing industry that horses are given illegal drugs. You would have to be the most naive person in the world not to know that. I think you do know that. It's standard operating procedure. Now, as an old horse racing guru told me years ago, he said, Ben, when you go out to the track there, you know how you spot the horses that don't do drugs? They're the ones that finish in last place when you go out and you watch a race. These drugs are used to obviously increase performance or mask pain. Now, in the case, if this report is accurate, and it's being checked and will be rechecked, but in this case, Medina Spirit, the winner of the Kentucky Derby, it was a drug to mask the pain so the horse didn't feel any. If you've got a bad leg, but you don't know you have a bad leg, you're going to run through that and maybe win the Kentucky Derby. But the practice of drugging horses is almost an exact science at this point. Now, the counter argument, the devil's advocate argument, is why would Bob Baffert do this? Bob Baffert is the biggest name in horse racing, and everyone's out to get Bob Baffert, right? Because everyone wants to take down the top dog. And while horse racing is crooked pool, Bob Baffert, he's not some innocent little victim in all of this. Baffert does have a bullseye. I will agree with him on that part of it, that there's a lot of jealousy that, you know, these other people that have been in the business, some of them longer than Bob Baffert or as long or close to it, and they don't have nearly the success that Baffert has. And they're like, well, what's this guy doing? This guy must be cheating. But let's not kid ourselves here. It's not like this is a new claim. And for generations, the top horses have come from Bob Baffert's tutelage. And it's not like he's being dragged in the mud because it's guilt by association. If you follow the breadcrumbs, okay, follow the breadcrumbs. Bob Baffert trained horses have failed at least 29 drug tests in his four-decade career. Now, I could play devil's advocate, and I could argue that's actually not that many when you've been in horse racing for 40 years and you've only had 29 horses. And Bob Baffert, that's a relatively low number. When you consider the volume of horses that Bob Baffert has had under his watch. So, but it's still, now this would be horse number 30, Medina Spirit at the Kentucky Derby. Of course, the argument also is those are the only ones that got caught. Probably many more than that, but those are the ones that got caught. It's kind of like look the other way, hush, hush, I say nothing, you say nothing. All right, last thing on this rare and appropriate Mather monologue on the ponies. So horse racing is a sport that we on this show pay attention to three times a year, and that's the Triple Crown races, period, hard stop, and pretty much as sports radio goes in general. Now that Medina Spirit has been deep sixth All we have now is scandal talk, which I am not opposed to. As I've said, I'm not opposed to a good scandal talk. And by the way, the horse, again, Medina Spirit, no comment. And I think, much like the NBA fined Kyrie Irving $35,000 for not talking, I believe the commissioner of horse racing will fine Medina Spirit for having no comment about the wrongdoing. Bob Baffert, he is the one cast as the villain-like figure in this narrative. Now, I've had a chance to interview Bob over the years at the track. And, you know, he was nice to me, although I always felt when I interviewed Bob Baffert, like, he always gave me the impression, like, what am I doing talking to a sports radio bozo? And I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree that I'm a sports radio bozo. But Bob Baffert being cast as a villainous-like figure in this particular story, if you were to compare him to other notorious cheats in the history of sports, but the gold standard, we've lived in the age of the great cheat. The cheating Astros with F. Altuve, F. Altuve. You've got that. You've got the Barry Bonds Balco home run record, the tarnished home run record for the Gigantes. You've got that on the list. And we can go on. But I would say Baffert is more like a Lance Armstrong. For many, many years, people have claimed, and finally it's been proven correct, that Lance Armstrong was actually clean. He wasn't dirty. And then there were other people saying he was dirty. He denied everything Lance Armstrong. Eventually, the music stopped. He got pantsed in more ways than one. Now, the big question, is this really a mortal blow to Bob Baffert? And my instinct says no. Baffert's getting up there in age, though. He's been in this business a long time, the horse business. He's made a ton of money. He doesn't need the headache. But I don't get the vibe that this is going to end with the departure of Bob Baffert from the business. I don't think by a long shot, unless he's banned from the industry forever. Now, I know at Churchill Downs, right now he's been banned, subject to review, and I have a feeling he'll be back in the saddle again, literally and figuratively, and back up to his bag of tricks. Meanwhile, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, the thing that matters most. Are you going to lose money if you had a winning ticket at the Kentucky Derby? Because it appears the winner of the Kentucky Derby ultimately will be changed following the investigation if it confirms what is initially suspected, positive drug test. But the good news is that does not mean it will have any impact on the bettor. And that's really what we care about here for the first leg of the Triple Crown. Expect the status quo. All right, once a race is finito and done and over, the betting results are final, no matter what happens afterwards. Even if they do rewrite history, the gambling ticket stays the same. We are told this is one of the most irrevocable standards in horse racing. In fact, it is a law in every state, not just in the state of Kentucky where the Derby is being held, but in every state, that once they determine a winner, even if, you know, a week later or 2 weeks later, they say, well, you know, in retrospect, that horse is not the winner. Doesn't matter. Once they declared the horse the winner and they cashed the tickets, that's it. Now, I'm not sure what happens if you have a bet with Medina Spirit to win the Triple Crown, for example. You're probably up Poop Creek without a paddle. But as far as if you just bet on the Derby and you won some money, it's not like they're going to come knocking on your door saying, hey, dummy, give us our bag of money back. That's not going to happen. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to be part, and this is an opportunity, I get a lot of guys that are in the horse business that listen to this show say, why don't you talk about horse racing? Well, I'm talking about, we got a scandal. I'm talking about horse racing. So this is your opportunity to be Mr. Smart Horse Guy and call up 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Later this hour, the Insta Advice Line Unscreened radio will be coming your way. And what happens when a mere mortal does things that come out of a comic book? Well, it has happened. Someone in sports is a mere mortal and turned into a superhero. We'll give you that story. Was it Superman? Was it Captain America? Which superhero was it? We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
You're listening to the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Listen up, Maller Militia. The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. He can't really talk right now, but he's still doing his best answering the phones. He is also the liar, liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. It's the Coop the Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan.
Right. For that amount of money, I'd get like a penis necklace tattooed on my neck.
How much money was that, by the way? Anyway.
$2.
And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Jamie writes in from Seattle. He says, hey, Bob Baffert said there's a problem with horse racing, and it's not Bob Baffert. Sounds like he's blowing the whistle. Yeah. Sam points out anti-inflammatories can be also used as a masking agent hiding the steroids. Watch out. Jay says the architect of the travesty is Bob's trainer, Wilbur. Wilbur Post. Ryan says, so boxing and horse racing, the two most corrupt sports, Don, only in America. King states. Don King, the legendary boxing pro. Still alive, by the way, Don King. Amazingly so. He's hanging in there. Who else we have? Trucker Joe says, dude sounds guilty as hell, kind of like Ryan Braun when he was lying about not doing steroids. Well, that's the all-time liar. Ryan, well, with a wink and a nod.
Rough up, Romero.
Lance Armstrong, though, like if you were to make a big board, not we don't do this radio, Roberto, but if you were to make a list of the great cheaters that lied while cheating, you'd have to say Palmeiro would be up there. I would have Lance Armstrong number one because people were convinced that Lance Armstrong, and many people, no, people just trying out to get Lance. Armstrong, Ryan Braun, Rafael Palmeiro would be on there. You could throw McGuire. McGuire, didn't he do an interview? A-Rod. You got to put A-Rod on that list. A-Rod on 60 Minutes famously said he didn't do steroids.
Roger Clemens, I misremembered.
Yeah, Roger Clemens, I misremembered, would be on there. McGuire, I think I said him. Barry Bonds. Yeah, so, I mean, there's a long, lengthy list. But Bob Baffert, pretty good contribution. Chip in the Q's writes and says, A-plus monologue, if for no other reason. Then it wasn't about what some guy ate for dinner last night. It wasn't a bunch of uninteresting facts being read straight out of an almanac. And it wasn't about the weird drama between a grown man and his mommy. There you go. Chip says, I am a conspiracy therapist. Baffert is as guilty as the cheating Astros. Great monologue, A+. Well, listen. We can all agree, even if you thought the monologue wasn't that good, the opportunity to get a Bob Baffert drop that we can play out of context, because we deal in the currency of conspiracy theories quite a bit.
I'm not a conspiracy therapist.
That's great. Oh, that's great. Justin in Cincinnati says, hey, who took more steroids in the lead up to the Kentucky Derby, the horse or Looney? Wow, that's a toss-up.
Tom Looney.
Let's just say Looney took so many steroids he could have won the Kentucky Derby. How about that? All right, come on now. Notorious B says A+ Maller monologue. Bob Baffert always been a pompous ass. Been cheating for 40 years. He says Robin, Minnesota. My favorite horse racing rigging story was when people were caught sticking sponges in the horses' noses. Back in the day, Robin Vegas, a ponies monologue, rare but very good, Benjamin. Yes, rare and appropriate. High-end sports racing is just like the blue bloods in college basketball. They all cheat, so get over it and move on or quit watching. Either way, get over yourself, he says. Ryan's randomly says Jose Altuve is the top lying cheater, Ben, followed by Carlos Correa. All right, let's take some phone calls. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's say hello to Mary, who's in Boston listening to us on Fox Sports Radio on the Sports Hub. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Ben. I'm calling you from my treadmill. I'm getting ready to go to work.
So oh, good. Now, how long? I got a treadmill too, Mary. I love the treadmill. I'm on there every day when I get done with the show. So now, how long do you go on that treadmill?
an hour every morning.
Good job. See, that's good cardio health there, Mary. You're going to live a long life there with that good cardio health. Very nice.
Thank you. I listen to you every day. I love your show. It's wonderful. And I also listen to you on the car on the way to work besides the treadmill.
Oh, cool.
And I love horses. I've always watched horse racing my entire life. And I'm a fan of Bob Baffert. And I don't think I watched the race. I don't think he'd be that stupid to give a horse twice a legal an illegal dose. There's people who have access to horses before the races. Maybe it was done without him knowing it. I just don't want to believe it. He seemed very surprised when the horse won the race, if you happen to see it that day. I personally don't want to believe it. Maybe I'm being naive.
Because Mary, you're saying you like Bob Baffert. You kind of like his pizzazz and his razzmatazz and all that. Okay. I guess.
Did you
say the same thing about Lance Armstrong? Because people loved Lance Armstrong. They said what a great guy, upstanding guy Lance Armstrong was, and he turned out to be a total weasel.
I know. I followed all that when that happened. That was very disappointing. But personally, I happen to like Bob Baffert. I think that he would... I mean, it's something that's watched so closely.
Listen, Baffert, what do you like about him? I mean, he's a very arrogant guy. You like arrogant men, Barry? Is that what you're attracted to?
Not at all, no. I just think that it's so easy to find something like that. Why take a chance on a race that's so high profile? I don't think that...
All right, I understand. I mean, that's fair enough. All right, get back to the treadmill, Mary. Thank you. All right, get back.
Bye.
All right, bye. All right, there she goes. Get back on the. I don't want her to lose focus while on the treadmill, get distracted, and then have like a treadmill accident. Yeah, I love it. I always went to the gym up, and the reason I stopped going to the gym was because of the COVID last year. And I finally, after like 4 or 5 months with the gym closed, I went out, and you know I hate spending money. I had to wipe the cobwebs off my wallet and get a treadmill. It was painful.
But you don't need a gym though. You see that, right?
What's that? What's
you don't need the gym.
No. I mean, I got the gym here, so I just walk down the hall, and it's like I'm under house arrest here. But I'm fine. It's a nice house. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. I mean, occasionally let's just say the sights I would see at the gym were better than the wall I stare at when I'm on the treadmill. But not, you know, to be fair, I mean, I would go to the gym in the morning and I would hang out with the Blue Bloods, you know, me and the Blue Bloods, the old school guys. And I wasn't going primetime gym. I've heard that if you go to the gym in primetime, you get a lot of first round draft picks, a lot of lottery picks that are working out. I was getting more of the old timer crowd, like the Hall of Fame game type crowd, you know, the old, yes, that's what I was getting. but anyway, so like a superhero right out of a movie, a former NFL player by the name of Brandon Bear. I don't know if you've heard of this, if you saw this story or not, but this is a pretty wild story. So this guy, right, pretty nondescript NFL player, played in the NFL briefly, had a brief run, played with the Philadelphia Eagles. And it has come to our attention here recently, this guy, former defensive lineman for the Eagles, saved a man from a burning train late last week in the state of Idaho. This according to the East Idaho News. Now, B-A-I-R is the guy's name, Bear. He was driving near St. Anthony, Idaho, rather. St. Anthony, Idaho. Just imagine out there in the boondocks in Idaho. On Thursday night, he sees a semi-truck get hit by a train. Oh, let's stop right there. Imagine that. Imagine what that must have sounded like and looked like to see a semi-truck get drilled by a train. And he instantly, the truck goes kaboom, just explodes. It's this massive explosion right away. And you know the train was pushing the truck down the tracks. And so this guy, this former NFL player, gets on the phone, calls 911. He starts driving down the median to get to the front of the train when it stopped. And when he got there, he said that he saw the conductors getting out of the train. Smoke was everywhere. And he heard this voice coming from inside the truck that had just been hit by the train. And it was a split-second decision there. This former NFL player, he says, I'm going in. Guy needs help. I'm going in. And he ran up to the window and he saw flames there everywhere, all over inside the truck. He could see the guy that was still in the truck. in a seatbelt, was able to reach in, get it off of him. He was talking, and the NFL former NFL player said he told him that he had to get out of here now, and they were able to, I guess the guy was able to walk away, and within seconds, the fire had gone all the way to the roof and come down inside. The whole cab was fully engulfed in flames, and then a few minutes later, kaboom, kaboom, the whole thing blew up. So how about that? This guy saved a 25-year-old truck driver, a guy inside the truck, who was airlifted to a hospital, supposedly in fair condition, over the weekend. So there you go. Real life, that's like right out of like a Superman comic book, isn't it? Doesn't that sound like a Superman comic book? Am I right about that? Yeah. Played 21 games for the Eagles in 2014-2015. He also had a brief cup of coffee with the Chiefs and the Raiders, the old Oakland Raiders. And he retired in 2016. Not many people can say that they helped drag a guy out of a truck that had been hit by a train and the guy survived.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, this story from golf. Did you hear about Bryson DeChambeau's weekend, Ben?
No, tell me about it, Eddie. Fill me in.
Well, first of all, I mean, if there's ever a golf name, it's Bryson DeChambeau. But anyway, he was competing in this tournament, the Wells Fargo Championship in Charlotte, North Carolina. Wrapped up his second round on Friday, and he was in 90th place. He's like, well, I'm not making the cut. Let's get the hell out of here. Hops on a jet, flies back to Dallas, where he makes his home. He then found out, hey, by the way, you ended up making the cut, I guess because there were a lot of other guys that sucked worse than you. So at 2:45 a.m. in the morning, he's on a private jet, hightailing it back to Charlotte, North Carolina to finish up the tournament, play
Who
on
goofed? I've got
Saturday and Sunday. He finished in a tie for 64th place, and for his trouble, he'll take home $228,825.
Well, no, he won't, because after taxes, it's only like $110. And then also, Eddie, those private flights are very pricey. You can't just get a private flight with it. How much do you think that costs? Where was he going again? He went from
Dallas
to Charlotte. What do you think? $10,000 on that?
Yeah, probably.
Round
something
trip?
Like that, yeah.
$10,000. So that's like, all right, so then you drop $10,000. Maybe $100,000 he cleared.
He's still in the plus for playing golf.
Come on. Good point. He wears the type of hat that he wears, the paperboy hat that I wear too. I have the paperboy hat.
Is that the Bruce Arians hat?
Yeah, you don't like that. You think that's a bad look.
It's an old man hat. Yeah, it's like appropriate that. For you.
Oh, no. Oh, wait. Bryson DeChambeau. Hold on a second. Now, DeChambeau he's like 27 and he wears it. So I'm like a hip 27-year-old guy.
It's
on the PGA Tour.
It's a douchey golf thing to do.
It's not a douchey golf thing to do. No, I mean, DeChambeau's a douche. I agree with you on that. But the hat's a good look.
I think we can get you a better hat.
What kind of hat do you think I would look better?
Maybe,
I like the
maybe
baseball
a, maybe a fedora. Do they make them in your size?
I actually have a fedora, but I can't wear it with headphones.
I understand that, but, you know, going out and about.
No, I always wear headphones when I go out, so people maybe will recognize me as the guy with the headphones on. Yeah. All right. Thank you for that, Eddie. It is the Ben Maller Show as we press on here, chopping down the overnight hours here one by one. By the way, about my buddy, the great Ted Sobel, he's up listening. He said that Bob Baffert is much less arrogant than he used to be since he had a heart attack several years ago. Well, maybe that's true. I have not interviewed Baffert in many years. But when I was doing a radio and I used to go out to the track, actually I did, you know, I filled in for Petros and Money. That's like one of the last times they would allow me to fill in for those guys. And I was out at the track and that was like the last time I saw Bob Baffert. That was only a few years ago though, but I don't think I interviewed him that time. And anyway, he says, I can't believe he is that stupid to have drugged the horse illegally like that intentionally. There you go. All right. Let's take a call or two. Let's go to Manuel in Gardena, who is next. Hello, Manuel.
Oh, hell yeah. Raider Rob, my man Coop the Loop, but mostly the talking head of the Walking Dead. Palpable Ben Foolery tonight. I'm giving you an A-plus on every monologue.
Who?
My man. How the hell are you doing, Benny?
Well, if I was any better, I'd be a Dodger, but not an L.A. Dodger, because these guys can't win one-run games.
Hey, Betty. Yeah, you know what? It's a rough patch. I'm not worried about it. Hey, the pantheon of cheaters. We failed to mention the pregnancy of Manny Ramirez. We also failed to mention all the roids that our guy Tom Looney did. Oh, no, we did mention that.
Yeah, we did mention Looney. No, Manuel, we should also mention, as our guy Sam in D.C. pointed out, he said, let's not forget Canelo Alvarez, right, the tainted beef.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And even
Fox,
Chris,
come on, man.
Even Chris in Houston pointed out AJ Hinch when he was asked about the cheating in the American League Championship Series by a reporter at Yankee Stadium and snickered and dismissed the allegations against cheating while the Astros were cheating.
Hey, right. The appropriate answer would have been FL Tuve, right?
FL Tuve, FL Tuve, FL Tuve.
That one, Chris. You guys aren't going to live that down. You and Dusty Baker can just SDFU about the crying that is that the Astros are going to get all year. Now, one more thing, Benny, all right, if you will indulge me, all right?
Yeah.
So, last thing, the Dodgers, all right? I'm tired of all these damn fans calling for Dave Roberts. They do remember that we just won, right? We got a little hangover.
Nah, come on, man. Well, I wanted Roberts fired before. They should have won. They should have had three World Series by now. They shouldn't just have one. They should have three.
The Astros cost us one. We all know that. The Red Sox, hey, man, they beat us from stem to stern. So
they cheated too, by the way, man. Well, they were cheating, and they confirmed cheating there in Boston.
Alex Cora's a cheater. He's got the face of a cheater. You just look at him. You know what I mean?
Well, it's amazing. The Red Sox could not get out of their own shadow last year, and now they have the top record in baseball with Alex Cora back. He brought the voodoo boogaloo back to the Red Sox.
And, well, hey, you know who's there? Bunch of Dodgers. Kike and that other kid that we shipped off.
Verdugo. You got Verdugo.
Yeah, Verdugo.
Kike.
That's right.
There you go. Yeah.
Hey, Ben,
all right.
Keep up the good work, man. Hey,
all right,
you've
thank
really
you,
been entertaining tonight.
Well,
I don't know what
very
it is
rare.
Tonight, man. I'm giving you an A-plus, though,
baby. Thank you, Manuel. I'll try to go back to mediocre Raider. Thank you, Manuel. Let's go to Dave. That's like one of those backhanded compliments by Manuel. You know, Ben, normally your show's very boring, but tonight was a good night. Tonight's a good show, but normally it sucks. Thank you. Dave is in Cincinnati real quick. We have the Insta advice line coming up. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, Manuel's a ball washer. And Bob Baffert's been caught 29 times in his career for drugging horses, 5 times in the past year. He's a stink. And Ben, what I called for is I've got a really bad hemorrhoid. Do you have any advice, instant advice for that?
You sound like a guy that has hemorrhoids. You do have the little cadence there that you sound like somebody suffering from hemorrhoids. Now, I've had
rub garlic on it.
No, God, no. Although that would probably work. The pain of the garlic, the pain, boss, the pain. Oh, can you imagine? Oh, man. Yeah, I don't have a home remedy for other like just sit in the bathtub. That's all I would advise you to do. I don't really know. Does anyone have a home remedy for hemorrhoids? I don't know of any quick fix on the hemorrhoids. You can get those pads at the store that'll help out. You know those.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only route.
Yeah, I wish I had more. I would just sit in the bathtub as you know, not really sit because you got the hemorrhoids, but kind of lean on the side there and.
Yeah, do the side.
Do a soak.
Yeah, just soak it away. Soak the hemorrhoid away. You gotta do. You've come to the right place though, because if you have any kind of medical problem, call the overnight sports radio guy. That's always the place to go there, Dave. All right. Well, good luck. I had a tailbone injury where I had to sit for several years on you know those pads you get when you injure your tailbone, it's the pad kind of looks like a toilet seat. And I had to sit on these for a couple of years.
Oh, so you were like Phil Jackson.
Yeah, pretty much. And that was so bad. God, did that pain. But eventually, I guess it healed itself because it went away. By the way, a friend of mine says the key to a hemorrhoid is a bent metal hanger. But that will, yeah, I'm sure. Strategically placed. All right, we are going to have the instant advice line. If you would like to recommend someone, I have an idea who I'm going to go with, but if you want to recommend somebody that needs advice, you can do that. Send me a message on Twitter, at Ben Maller, the instant advice line. We'll get to that. We'll do it next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
From the first moment you tune in, you know the Ben Maller Show is not your garden variety sports talk. We welcome all the freaks of nature to the Maller Militia. Facebook's an online amusement park for all of us. You can chat with other super fans of the show. It's simple and it's free. Help support our show by liking our page. Go to facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Hey, you sports figure guy or girl.
Who the hell are you talking to, son?
Here's some instant advice.
Hold that thought. No one's paid attention to me for 10 whole seconds.
And if you don't like it, screw you.
And away we go. It's the instant advice line, Unscreen Radio. And so many of you, all of a sudden, recommending the same person who needs advice. Now, typically we give an athlete or a prominent media figure in the world of sports advice. But I think the person that needs advice, and many of you agree with me, is the guy that just called up a few minutes ago, Dave in Cincinnati. He's suffering from hemorrhoids right now, and he is looking for some advice. So just based on the reaction we're getting here, Rob, the Goat Man, several other people suggesting that we give advice to Dave in Cincinnati on how to deal with a sudden case of hemorrhoids that has him up all night listening to our show. 877-99 on Fox is the number. You're live on the air when you hear my voice. We're looking for a piece of advice to help out fellow listener Dave in Cincy. He's got hemorrhoids. It is the instant advice line, Unscreen Radio. We'll start out with you on line one. Hello, line one.
I'm Fudgy Kamal, and even Mr. Ed took steroids.
Okay, thank you for that, Fuzzy. So happy that Fuzzy got in right away. Jay in Florida says, my advice line suggestion is to eat a high-fiber diet to Dave in Cincinnati. That seems like good advice. Line two, you are next. It's the instant advice line for Dave in Cincinnati. Dave in Cincinnati has got hemorrhoids. Hello, line two.
Yeah, who cares about Cincinnati, Ohio? Because Toledo, Ohio, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, you're better.
All right, thank you. Go away. Hang up on yourself. Line three, you are next. Your advice to fellow listener Dave in Cincinnati.
Yeah, Ben, I strongly suggest Dave get some spicy hot Ditka.
All right, thank you for that. Big reference to the old Bears coach. Line, what are we at? Line four is
Drink
next.
Yourself away.
Line four, you are next.
Race with Clay Travis's racist douche.
All right, let's go to line five. You are next. Line five. Hello, line five.
Hello.
Goodbye. All right, line six. It's the instant advice line. You're live on the air. No small talk. Give your piece of advice. Hang up, and the next person. It's like an assembly line. The next person right behind you. Here we go. Line one. Your next advice to fellow listener Dave in Cincinnati. He needs help with his hemorrhoids.
I would suggest a cactus and some Bengay. Enjoy.
Yes. Yeah, the cactus, a great idea. Just sit on a cactus. What could possibly go wrong with that? Line two, you're next. Boy, this is great advice. Line two, advice to fellow listener Dave in Cincinnati.
I know it's you, Roberto.
Uh-oh. Roberto, watch out. Now
he's back.
All we need is the where's my baseball guy.
Where's my baseball guy?
Where's my baseball? Line four, you're next. Hello, line four.
Happy birthday, Roberto.
Happy birthday, Roberto.
Thank you.
Every week's Roberto's birthday. All right. Line five. Go, line five. All right. One more. Koopaloo Pickett, the final call. The instant advice line for Dave in Cincinnati and his hemorrhoids.
Line one.
Line one. You're on the air. Go.
Super Joe Eagle says,
Call Miss Cleo!
Call Miss Cleo! There you go. I think she's dead, though. I don't think she's around anymore.